Hello, everyone. This is the Reverend Kyle and Chris Miranda show.
Oh, yes.
Is that what we're going to
call it? Spontaneous SVVR launchpad show.
Yes. We are at... We're at the Computer History Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what room we're in?
This is the exact same room we had the Ubercast. Was it 2 years ago?
Yes.
Holy shit. It feels like 2 decades.
Oh, God. It feels like it's been so long. I mean, I sat there. Palmer sat there. Yeah. I bet if you smell the seat, it probably still smells like pickles and Cheetos, right? And Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets with avocados, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So VR Launchpad, Road to VR and SVVR partnered up to bring a platform for people to hawk their wares, pitch their ideas.
Yeah.
How do you think it's going?
It's going really well. I you know, you just see energy, you just see pure passion, and I see I'm looking at, again, every time I go to these events, I'm always cognizant of, like, somewhere in here is a $1 billion company, and these people have no fucking clue, but it's so exciting to think about that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to be sitting here, and just like we were with the Ubercast, looking out the window, and here's all the people that we've been hanging out with for two and a half years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah.
And we're watching them walk by, and they're giving us the finger as they walk by the window. And yeah, this is great. I mean, this is... So, all right, let's dig into the nitty-gritty of it. Number one, how many beers have you had?
I've only have taken a couple hits of a sativa vape pen.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So, yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, man.
It's legal in California.
I know, right? And hey, I'm in Seattle.
Oh, there you go.
Everything's legal in Seattle. Yeah. Yeah. So my intoxication of choice has been beer. I've had, they have 4 different types. I've had all of them now. This
Very
is the
nice.
Fourth one. So I've had a couple.
Which one's your favorite so far?
You know, I don't know. This Scrimshaw is pretty good.
What does it taste like?
It's just a Pilsner.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to try it?
Yeah. Take a sip. Yeah.
I've never heard of it before, so I'm not really sure.
Huh?
Yeah. It's just real kind of light. Doesn't say what the... I don't know. Anytime you have a really light beer, you wonder. It's like, oh, man, it's only like 2% alcohol. Son of a bitch.
I'm going to have to drink 20.
Right. Yeah. But no, it's good. I mean, the energy here is very positive. Did you sit through all of the pitches?
I did not. I sat through 2 out of 3 of them, stage sessions. And yeah. Part of the reason was because I was volunteering, helping out with the conference.
That's right. You're part of the crew, man.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But did you get to see all of
them? So I sat through, it's actually a really funny story. I sat through the first one, and they did 3 sessions. Mm-hmm. I sat through the first one. I sat through the last one.
Okay.
And I missed the middle ones because I got caught up in a really, really cool conversation.
Huh.
This guy comes up to me and he goes, so I'm from XYZ mainstream media, and I'm here to try to figure out, is VR a thing or is it going to fizzle out and die? I don't know anything about VR, and I think it's going to fizzle out and die. And I said, sit down, son. Sit down, son.
Let me show you the way.
Let me tell you a tale. And I evangelized to him in pure profit, man. I wish I had recorded everything I said, because at the end of the conversation, he looked at me and he went, wow, let me get your card, because you just said like 1,000 things I'd love to quote. Yes, that is exactly what I needed. And yeah, I missed the middle session of pitches, but I converted one person.
That is...
A mainstream media person, of all things.
Are you allowed to say which mainstream media?
No.
Okay.
But I was very pleased to know that I have a convert.
Nice.
Under the belt. Another notch on the bedpost.
Where do you think that comes from there, that skepticism from mainstream media?
Well, he told me. He said that all the mainstream media people are coming out and saying, this is a fad. This is a thing that's going to fizzle and die. It's going to... You know, only bleeding edge early adopters are going to have it, and then mainstream consumers will never adopt it.
Mm.
Could you possibly see VR really truly having an impact on education, or having an impact on commerce, or having an impact on social media are having an impact, and I'm cracking up the whole time. I'm like, you're insane, man. just listen to me for 5 minutes, and it turned into an hour and a half session.
But you didn't even have to put the H&D on his head. You got him converted.
No, I converted him without putting it on his head, and to me, that's a huge thing.
You get bonus points for that.
I think I do. I think if I had had an HMD, it would have been cheating.
Yeah.
It would have been cheating, yeah.
Overkill.
Right. It's like, oh, and by the way, let me show you the metaverse.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the real world. It'll never be good enough for you from now on.
That's so awesome, man.
It really is. You know, but it was good. And I know I missed the pitches, but that's okay. So the pitches that you did see.
Yeah.
What do you think about a 3-minute pitch and then a Shark Tank style format of people giving feedback?
Yeah, you know, it just seems like a legacy format of doing things here.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like it's the thing that everybody has done at every other conference, and let's try to do it because it somehow seems to work. But I think, you know, it's the VR industry. We're so innovative, or we're always thinking about what can we do that hasn't been done before. And I think that, especially at SVVR, I think they're the type of they have the type of mentality that next year will be. For example, they had these guys stream themselves in.
Oh, wasn't
in
that
VR.
A trip?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that's little things like that that are really just innovative, never been done before. You know, I'm really excited for it. Mm-hmm. The format worked out this year. I think it was. Yeah.
You know, we all love you, Chris, because you take people down the rabbit hole. Let me blow your mind here just for a minute.
I'm ready.
What if next year the whole thing happens in VR? We don't have a showroom floor. We don't have a... We just all meet in, like, VR chat. Props to Graham and Jesse. We all meet in VR chat. Or Altspace or whatever. Janice or, you know, all of them together. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a showroom floor, and the pitches all happen in virtual space. Would you be okay with that?
I mean, it would definitely be a boost, an enhancer to the real world. But my thinking is that, you know, for the next couple of years, we want to use VR to make the real world experience better. And then as the technology just gets better, I think that we could just replace the real world event. But for now, I think real world has the advantage of just latency, you know, and field of view.
We're doing this podcast because I got a wild hair up my ass and said, look, there's Chris. Let's go do a podcast in that room that we used for the Ubercast. And I'm a nostalgic guy. I like nostalgia. I like to look and go, remember when we did that?
Yeah.
Remember when we did that? I like that. Those are the kind of things that make you, you know, glad that you were alive during a certain period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I are sitting here, and if I remember correctly, that's where you were sitting, and I was sitting right here.
Yep.
And, you know, I think Brian Hart and Matt Carroll was over there, and Brian Bullard was there, and, you know, and Kent Bai was still wandering the halls doing his thing.
Yes.
You know, and, oh, man. And remember when we started? I was like, guys, I tried to get Palmer, but... And then he just showed up.
Hey, it's Steve Jobs.
Hey, that's the funniest line ever. Oh, man. Yeah. But that's you can't duplicate that kind of spontaneity in VR.
Yeah.
Can you? I mean, really, can you?
I mean, to a degree, you can. To a degree. But then again, the medium will evolve and things will get better. But tell me what have you taken away from this conference so far? What's your big takeaway?
You know, I almost didn't come to this conference.
Yeah.
But our good buddy Ben Lang at Road to VR, he's like, man, I got a ticket here for you. Come down. I'm like, all right. Yeah. You know, and now that I'm in Seattle, it's just like quite literally a hop, skip, and a jump.
Mm-hmm.
I think my flight was less than 2 hours, which is funnier than hell. You know, just for me, it blows my mind. But, you know, my big takeaway is, number one, my convert. I'll talk about that forever and ever. But number two is, this is a small group.
Mm-hmm.
This is a small, intimate group.
Yep.
The energy's still here, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the event is. There's an energy whenever you get a bunch of VR people together.
That's true.
It just emanates. This room, this building, this block will glow until these people leave this building.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just and amazing. It's going to be hard to get these people out of these buildings. Like at every VR conference, it's always hard to get people out the door.
You know? Yep. And we don't have Bruce here.
That's
just
true.
Say, hey, everybody, we need to get you out of here. It's time to go. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, look at those things. So have you seen anything out on the showroom floor that you haven't seen before?
Because
we've been to these things, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, we see a lot of redundancies.
That's true.
Like, I don't need to look at that. I've seen that 100 times.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. All space is awesome. I don't need to try it again. Yeah. I can go home and do it.
Yeah.
So what am I trying here that I haven't tried before?
I got to say that things like the video stitch stuff is really impressive because that is something that I wouldn't be able to try at home. They got this massive setup, but I think they got like 16 or 12 GoPros.
I think it's a 12er,
and they're live streaming from them into a DK2, and you can see yourself in third person, which is trippy as hell. That's awesome.
Reverend Kyle doesn't refer to himself in third person though. Reverend Kyle doesn't want to be arrogant like that.
So that's actually kind of awesome. And then there's these other guys who are using mouse facial recognition capturing.
Oh yeah.
That's cool because they're gonna get acquired by some big company eventually.
Probably. Yeah.
And yeah, that's gonna be just an added default thing about the metaverse, the standard thing in every game and every experience. You have to have motion or facial capturing.
Yeah, especially for those of us who are hyper animated. I mean, imagine watching us do a video podcast in VR, our avatars, without having us, and I'm waving my hands around here acting like a fool, without having that type of interaction, you kind of miss out on a lot of it. You know, body language is really important. So, yeah, the facial recognition, the cheek thing, you know, like sensing when the cheeks move up to smile and stuff like that. That's kind of cool.
The eye tracking stuff, too. Like, once you put them all together, no matter how bizarre the avatar looks, if you have good eye tracking, have you seen that Altspace video that they showed?
Yes.
It looks uncanny. It looks like, holy shit, there's a human behind that thing. There's a soul there.
You know, let me ask you something. Other than controlling an avatar's eye movement, have you seen any other practical application for eye tracking?
Controlling an avatar's eye, so have I seen...
Other than what we saw with Altspace, with,
you
know, you can see them moving left and right with their pupil. What else have you seen that eye tracking has been helpful?
The Fove demo reel shows people using it for rehabilitation, people who are bedridden, to communicate with their family. That was a really useful thing.
Yeah.
You know, I also see it as a way to get better analytics out of customers and users. So I think that's from a business perspective, big businesses will want eye tracking.
Sure.
As creepy as it is, but hey, they're going to do it anyways.
Gotta get paid.
Yeah. Yep. And then the other... And so, yeah, there's so many things I think that eye tracking theoretically can do, but I haven't seen yet.
Yeah. I'm not high on eye tracking. I'm just not. I've publicly said several times.
I've heard this before.
I'm just not high on eye tracking. I think it's needed for social experience the same way I think that you need to track my lips and tongue. But I don't think that eye tracking is a big deal. In the long run... It's something that'll be incorporated.
Yeah.
But would you really want to buy a headset just for that purpose? For eye tracking?
I am a lazy fuck. And so I dream of the day when I can just lay in bed and I can navigate the internet just laying in bed without moving a single finger. And if I could have eye tracking and some sort of just a binary button on my hand, I could click through pages, navigate.
You got to be able to move your hand at least a little bit. So,
yes.
You know,
and that phallic motion. Yes. So I'm selectively lazy.
Okay, there you go.
aside from that, I think eye tracking will be the enabler of a more efficient way to navigate and interact with the metaverse eventually.
Right. Yeah.
Because how long are we going to be using keyboard and mouse?
I don't know. It's a tough call because, you know, you try touch.
Yeah.
Touch is amazing.
Yeah.
The Vive, we've got the Vive. Tactical Haptics is showing off some really cool stuff now.
Yeah.
Attached to a Vive.
Yeah.
Mind equals blown. Okay. Because I've always been high on Tactical Haptics because I think that motion in the hand, I think that's important. We've got STEM,
mm-hmm.
which did you see that Make VR is kind of...
Yeah, it's
separated going off to its own direction. Sixth Sense.
Yep.
You think that's wise?
I think that's overdue. That was overdue.
Yeah.
When I first saw Make VR, they showed Make VR at the first SVVR ever.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing Make VR like back in May 2013 and thinking this is the greatest fucking thing ever. Uh-huh. I want it now. But I think that I think through time they've evaluated and realized that holy shit, there's Tilt Brush out there. Oh, now there's Medium.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We should probably get in that because mm-hmm. now we're validated by these larger players.
Did you see that they actually have a STEM setup over there?
No.
Yes.
So that's awesome.
And so I was talking to Brian Hart of Jaunt and Road to VR fame. And I said to Brian, I said, do you think it's the most current version of STEM? Do you think that this version they're showing off right now would pass FCC regulation, or mm-hmm. are we all getting cancer by standing too close to it? And I joke, and Amir, please don't kill me. I love STEM, and I'm actually still looking forward to STEM, and I still think that STEM has a valid use case in the VR market. And those of us who are smart enough to know what STEM is, see that.
Yeah.
See that. Did you back STEM?
I am supportive of them. I didn't have
the
moolah to back them.
I backed STEM, and I also backed Prio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is Prio at right now?
So there's due for a Kickstarter fulfillment in Q1 of 2016.
Okay. So all eyes on Prio.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I'm supposed to have my STEM by Christmas.
Oh. Let me ask you something real quick. What's your take on web VR? Do you think it has any future, any potential? What's your take on it?
That's a good question. So when you say web VR, do you mean that VR delivered via the web, or do you mean web content delivered in VR?
I mean things like Balula.
So Balula did not amuse me at all.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because Balula looked like a money grab.
Tell me more.
Okay. I saw a lot of branding.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of product placement.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a platform that looked basically like Second Life did in 2007. And I did not see any value in terms of what VR delivered. And when they did their pitch, the folks up at the Shark Tank said, why is this a VR thing? And I was actually listening to him talk, and it took him, out of the 3 minutes that he talked, it took him until into his third minute before he said the letters V and R.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He did not say the word virtual. Mm-hmm. He did not say the word reality. He talked all about a social experience where people can come in and buy shit.
Yeah. Let me take aside for a second.
Sure.
I've run into two types of founders. Mm-hmm. The type of founder who is all in to VR, they're going to make their game, their app, their whatever is built from the ground up for VR, fuck everything else. That's the focus, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the others who are more like, I don't want to put my eggs in just one basket.
Yeah.
So let me make sure that I have a desktop presence and I have a smartphone presence. And I'm also in this other and so other platform.
We call that platform agnosticism.
And so in my mind, honestly, why web VR is exciting to me is because it's can be accessible from so many platforms. And not only that, considering how fragmented mobile VR will be,
mm-hmm.
As it's shaping up to be, like I think that being able to access VR from a browser, from any smartphone, would be potentially very valuable in the future.
Let me ask you a question, Chris, because I, in theory, agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the value of having it available from any device, anywhere via the web, is smart. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're capable of doing that yet. I think that it's the greatest idea in the world tomorrow.
I agree.
I don't think we're there yet, and I think that anybody who's trying to capitalize on that now is way too innovative. Way too innovative. We're not quite there yet. I mean, the fact that I've got 4G speeds in my pocket, mm-hmm. that's cool.
Yeah.
Yes, I have 2 cell phones. but the ability to do it consistently, I drove from Cincinnati to Seattle twice in a month.
Holy shit.
I took 2 different routes because one route took me around so I could experience the world in one way, uh-huh. or the country in one way, and then the other side I went the other way. I think that I maybe lost my internet reception 3 times mm-hmm. in 2,500 miles. Hmm. Over the cumulative time of 5,000 miles of driving in a month, I lost my internet connection maybe 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get VR in those spots delivered via a streaming receptacle of some sort. And so I know I'm talking about the outliers, the points. I mean, like, where in the world can you go nowadays where you can't get at least 3G?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it exists. And there are times where you can't get anything. Or there are times when I've been in someone's house and not be able to even get 2G.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming content for VR, I struggle with that.
I mean, your points are valid. And honestly, web VR is the sleeping giant of tomorrow. Because when all the other platforms are behind their walled gardens,
mm-hmm.
people are going to look past that fuckery and say, I want to develop for something that's free and open and that won't, you know, scam me for my money.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will happen eventually, you know.
You know, one of these days, and this is going to suck really bad, is that it's all going to be about DLC for mm-hmm. VR content.
Yeah.
Or AR content, or mixed reality content. So we don't know.
What's your take on exclusives for VR platforms this early in the game?
When you say exclusives, what do you mean?
Like Lucky's Tale. That's an exclusive for Oculus.
Man, exclusives are tough because, for one thing, you can feel like that has been produced as best as it can be for one platform. Then can be ported later. But the attention has been focused on just that one platform. There are trade-offs. When you have to do platform agnosticism and develop for different platforms, there's trade-offs. If I want to develop for mobile VR, things have to be lower poly. Things have to be not as good because they need to be fast. And so Lucky's Tale isn't considering that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Will Lucky's Tale ever exist in mobile? Things will have to be changed. But the Oculus Rift is going to be the best experience for Lucky's Tale because that's where it was designed for. Whenever you see those words designed for, you end up with a really, really good experience, in my opinion.
Yeah. But from a consumer perspective, mm-hmm. how will that be perceived? Do you think that people won't care that they can't?
Oh, I don't know. How many people play GTA 5 on their PC after they had it for other devices?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Everybody mm-hmm. and their brother played that on their consoles well before they played it on the PC.
Yeah.
And then it came out on PC, and it was still a hit.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know people who own it on the console and the computer.
Yeah.
Why did you... The Last of Us.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how long that stint was between console release and PC release.
Yeah.
But I think everybody who bought it on a console bought it on their PC too.
Mm.
I'm convinced of it. And what are you doing? Well, I'm playing it again.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing it again on a different platform. Well, yeah, it looks better. Wait, what? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine.
I mean, I can justify The Last of Us on PSVR. Me personally.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess it was. It's an awesome game. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. No, I know. Right. Game. Yeah.
But
I don't know. But playing it again on another platform just because it looks a little better.
Yeah. I'd rather spend my money on.
I don't know. I mean, we'll get to a point eventually where. This is an unrealistic conversation because 5 years from now will matter because mobile will be so fast that we won't have to worry about. You know, there will be this level of holy crappedness. Yes. Is that a word? That's a term now.
Yes.
That we'll just go, wow, it looks amazing even on our phones.
Yeah.
And we won't have to worry about this.
Where do you think the, for mobile, where do you think the advancements will be in the next 5 years? Is it going to be through, are we going to make a breakthrough in battery technology? Are we going to make a breakthrough in graphics? Or is it going to be finally, we're going to be able to stream like Octane render or something?
I don't think it'll be streaming. Okay. I think it'll be, you know, I look at what I can do now on my phone versus what I could do 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Even things that I could do 2 years ago, it's mind-blowing. Mm. So 5 years from now, mobile phones will be able to do such amazing things that we'll laugh at the PCs of today.
Yeah.
Because 5 years from now, the phones will be more powerful than the PCs are right now. Mark that down. I said it.
Make your bets.
That's right. I really, truly believe that mobile, and I've been saying this from the first like 10 podcasts I did.
Yeah.
I said mobile is going to be an integral piece of VR, and people screamed at me and said, "You're in fool. No phone out there in a million years is ever going to be able to handle VR." And then Google comes out and says, "Fuck you, here's cardboard." And then Samsung comes out and says, "Fuck you, here's Samsung Gear VR."
Yeah.
And I felt vindicated because, look, mobile VR is a thing. Now there's limitations, and those limitations will go away.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. I mean, you can play full-blown games on a portable device that 3 years ago barely ran on the highest-end console.
Yeah. So Google just had, they just posted they had 15 million downloads for their cardboard apps.
Ooh.
That's a big number. I mean,
that's a big number.
How is Google not making an HMD? Like a real HMD?
You know why? Because it's not about the HMDs.
It's the software.
Content is king, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I'll pull a, developers. It's all about the development. It's all about the content. We need, you know, people yell at me all the time. I'm a big advocate for spherical 360 video. I'm a big advocate for 360 panos and images. And people are like, "Oh, that's not VR." I'm talking to you, Alan Yates. You know what? It is VR. It is VR, but it's the smallest, like simplest form of VR.
Mm-hmm.
But we need that.
Yeah.
We need that. It's the same reason why you can go out and buy a, you know, cheap, low-end Cricket mobile Android phone for $10. Mm-hmm. You need the lowest common denominator. And spherical content is going to rule that. And the more, the merrier. Mm-hmm. Google is going to focus on making content and making content easily creatable. And let the hardware people do their thing.
Yeah.
We don't need Google to produce an HMD. As a matter of fact, I hope Google never does produce an HMD.
Really?
No. New versions of cardboard is good because you need to have that one-touch UI interface.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two touches. I don't know. But they don't need to create an HMD. Do you think they should?
Yeah, I think everybody should make an HMD.
Well, what would a Google HMD look like? What do you think that they'd be able to create that doesn't already exist out here on the market?
They would take, if I were Google, I would take a DK2, mm-hmm. or a HTC Vive, and then throw in their Project Tango cameras in there, so that you have this augmented reality, mixed reality pass-through capability. Not only that, you'd probably want to, I mean, there's so many little things that, there's this one like sensor that Google's using based on radar, that all you have to do is just like barely wiggle your fingers.
Yeah, I saw that for input. Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, that's another thing that they could use for, you know, some form of input.
Well, wouldn't it make sense for them to just create an input device then that can go associate itself to any of these already pre-existing HMDs?
Perhaps. I mean, yeah. Google can do whatever they want, honestly.
If Google ever produces an HMD, I'll be very surprised.
Would you buy an Apple HMD?
No.
No, why?
I don't own any Apple products, dude.
Tell me more.
Never in my life have I ever bought an Apple product.
Tell me more.
I own one Apple product, and it was because my company gave everybody in my team a Christmas gift, and they were refurbished iPod Nanos.
So in a parallel universe.
Yes.
Where this is the thing that people keep saying, like, you know what, Apple's just going to wait until this whole industry is just, you know, worked itself out, and then they're going to jump in and going to throw something awesome and it's going to take over. In that parallel universe where that scenario happens, where Oculus is dead, Vive is dead, and all you have is Apple, what are you going to do?
So in the last couple months, because of my current career, the first project that I had to work on at Studio 216 was an iPad app.
Okay.
And so I accepted the fact that platform agnosticism was something that I was going to have to add to my evangelization repertoire. Mm. And so I have learned how to use Unity with iOS and Xcode, and I have produced two now iPad apps for our clients. And so if it meant, and I know what you're getting at, if it meant that I had to buy an Apple product in order to get VR, I would graciously and humbly go to an Apple store to get VR.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you never
it's
know.
Hard for me to say it, but I accept it. I accept it for what it is. I accept it. Yes.
Let me ask you a question regarding the conference. Like, what do you think, you know, based on what you've seen, what do you think is the thing that's making the investors tick? You know,
I'm really curious about that. I don't have an answer, but, you know, how many, so you look out into the audience of people, and you can even look out here at the group of people we're watching. Who is an investor and who is a potential representative of an investor? Mm-hmm. Who are these people? Are they think, I mean, how many of these people are going to walk away with $10 million?
I don't know.
How many? How many people are going to say, wow, because you came to this VR launchpad, I'm going to invest in your company and give you the $1 million you're looking for. Mm-hmm. How many? I don't know. I'm also wondering how many people, just based on the conversation I had earlier today, how many of these people here are here because they don't think VR is a thing and they're looking to be convinced otherwise?
Because mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. if there was one in the group, maybe there's 10. Maybe there's 50.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a majority?
Maybe that's a good thing.
I don't know. I mean, are we doing an adequate job at showing them that this is a thing?
Yeah. I mean, by now, I think by now, it just seems like VR has just thrown itself into the mainstream consciousness. And so how could you... I mean, for sure, there's hype. For sure, there's hype.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And for sure, there's awareness. I just don't know how that affects the ratio of people attending this thing. You know, is it people who have already been aware of VR, who've seen Time and Forbes and all the big brands embracing it, and all of a sudden they're like, all right, I think I know what I'm getting into? Or is it like the skeptics, like how you met?
I think because there's one guy here, that there's the potential for more.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think that because there was one, there must be multiple. Mm-hmm. And I want to find them, you know? I need like a radar, VR skeptic radar activated. I don't know.
You know,
that's a tough one.
My friend Dara suggested a really good idea. He was like, why don't you do a show where it's a debate, put together a debate where you bring along the most hardcore VR skeptic. And you just have them, and you just have them go at it with someone who's in part of the community, who's a believer.
That is a great idea. Just a one-on-one
podcast debate.
Evangelist versus skeptic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then track it through time. So right before launch, through launch.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're getting kind of close to not being able to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we're really close.
I think we should have done it a year ago.
Right, right. But it would have been a great study of, you know, how has the evangelist changed and how has the skeptic changed? Just look at the two of us.
Yeah.
How has your perspective changed over the course of the last 2 years?
Fuck.
I know, right? Question. That's a crazy question. Oh, man. No, that's a toughie.
I mean, yeah, it's changed my life, my perspective on the universe, everything.
Have you become more grounded about it? Because we've all lived in that bubble for so long, and we're all floating out in cyberspace. Are we more grounded about it?
Define grounded.
So more realistic and not as overly enigmatic about our thought processes on things.
So as a podcaster, and I think you can understand, you can empathize with this feeling, you have to sort of force yourself to question everything you believe, because you're going to speak to people that believe this with their heart, and you believe it too, but you're not doing them the service if you're not asking them good and tough questions that that challenge yours and theirs beliefs. So in that sense, I've kept myself grounded, because I'm constantly questioning myself and every belief that I have. It's a double-edged sword, because it also cripples me from like doing doing crazy things. But yeah, I mean, how are you like managing
There's been some growth. I mean, for me, for the longest time, VR was a hobby.
Yeah.
That I hoped would become something different. And now, through just pure fate and determination, it has become that thing that I just do all the time. When I go to work, I'm doing VR. When I'm at home, I'm doing VR. When I'm on a trip, I'm doing VR.
That's awesome.
That's all I do. I don't ever have to worry about, oh, crap, I gotta do that report for my boss. Because if I do, it's in VR.
I'm so happy for you, man. That's amazing. You're living the dream. You're living the dream.
I really am. And you know what? I'm so excited. Been saying this so many times. There are other people in my boat, and I want other people who are in that same situation where, God, I really wish that I could just do VR all the time.
Mm.
I wish you could too.
Yes.
I want everybody to be able to live that dream.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate, very blessed, and I say it every time, and I will never let that go to my head.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I am very, very lucky that this happened.
Yeah.
I want that same luck for everyone else.
And here's the thing, like, if you're listening, you're passionate about VR, you're in the middle of nowhere, somewhere, but you're passionate, make something. Put yourself out there. Because honestly, it's the 21st century, and the script for humanity hasn't been written yet. And you, who are listening to this, my voice, our voices right now, could be the creator of the metaverse itself.
Yep.
Do it.
I have one piece of advice. When people ask, how do I get involved in the VR community? And how do I get to where you are?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bang on the table, and my phone's sitting on the table, so there's going to be a little bump. Be loud.
Mm.
Be loud. That is what you are successful. I am successful. Bruce is successful. And all these people out here with their pitches and their products are successful because they are loud.
Yeah.
They are voicing what they are doing. They're getting it out in front of the right people. If you're not loud, we don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And when I go and I look, like right now I'm kind of on a scavenger hunt to find developers. So, hey, if you're looking for a job, give me a buzz. I go and people send me their resume and they said, oh, I'm an active member of the VR community. No, you're not. No, you're not, because I don't know who you are. If you're an active member of the VR community, how come I haven't heard your name?
Yeah.
Or your handle, or you're this or you're that. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. And then I go and I ask the VR Mafia, I mean, that doesn't exist, and they don't know who you are, I'm sorry, you're not part of the VR community.
No.
And I still look at your resume, but I can't imagine that somebody who claims that they're active in the VR community, that we wouldn't have heard of them.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you agree with me, or am I being a little too rough?
I mean, to a degree, the thing is, there's... The community has grown to such a degree that I can't keep track of everyone.
That's true.
And there's people who are every day or every week I see someone that, oh, that person has a lot of followers and that person seems to be, yeah, I stalk you. Yeah, I'll stalk you and I'll look at your Twitter photos. And then they seem to be doing a lot of cool stuff. They seem to be taking a lot of pictures with HMDs on their heads. So they must be passionate or they must have a big interest. So so things like that, you know, those sort of happenings that, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, this thing is getting bigger. And but I agree to an extent. I think that if I haven't heard something about you, or you know, because we're constantly monitoring you and I, like, or either on Reddit or Twitter.
Well, you and I network. We have a network that we exist in.
Yeah,
that we all talk. And if you don't know that by now, you know, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. It's tough. I mean, just to kind of switch gears a little bit, because I think you'll appreciate this. Did you see the freaky ass teddy bear?
The freaky.
Yeah. Did you see the teddy bear?
No.
All right, so this guy's got a teddy bear. You're going to love this.
I can't wait.
He's got stereo cameras in the eyes of the teddy bear. It is like a possessed Teddy Ruxpin. The cameras are attached to a servo, which is attached to an Arduino board, which is being controlled by Unity, which is being run from an Oculus Rift EK2, which means when you look like this and you turn your head left to right, the bear's head turns and you see out the bear's eyes.
Holy shit.
You didn't see this thing?
That's insane.
It is crazy. And then you have a controller and you can move the arms.
Someone needs to get that man $10 million.
I know, like, right? Where? Well, he's part of the river.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in the river incubator.
So
he's already got all the money he needs.
Yeah.
It is Teddy Ruxpin VR.
That's the killer app.
You
got it.
What is the use case for something like that?
Case closed. We got the killer app.
But seriously, what would you do with that?
What would you do with a creepy you can make amazing Halloween installations
one. You could. That's true.
You could use it for rehabilitation or keeping older people talking to a person who is as a teddy bear, and they can be in the Philippines, and you can, like, you know, treat grandma from depression or loneliness.
Or freak her out.
Yeah. Why am I talking
meds,
to this bear?
Right.
Yeah.
The teddy bear is talking to me.
Grandma, you forgot to take your medication.
Oh,
here, take some more.
Gosh.
But I swear it's talking to me.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh, man. Yeah, no, you got to check out the teddy bear.
I shall.
And, you know, do you think this is a new event? This is like the first ever VR launchpad.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see, as we go forward into the future of VR, more events or less events?
In line with trying to get investors to meet founders?
I mean, just in general. I mean, it seems like every day there's a new meetup, a new expo, new this, that, or the other. Do you think we're going to see an increase of them through the years or a decrease?
Today there's like three VR events happening.
Right now, while we're talking.
There's the 3D printing conference with a VR aspect to it.
Uh-huh.
Mozilla's having a VR
thing. Altspace is doing a thing online today. Yeah.
So it's kind of insane.
It is.
And the problem now, to me, it's like, what a great problem to have. How do I divide up my time, stay productive, do my work, my craft, and also be able to network and attend people?
It's a tough call. Yeah.
And so my thing is, at some point, maybe something's going to give, maybe market saturation or not, or the masses adopt this technology and all of a sudden there's just this huge demand for more events. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll find out sometime April, May of 2000.
I'm predicting my birthday is on April 19th.
Okay.
Day before 420.
Yeah.
I'm going to predict that I will have an Oculus Rift CV1 on my head for my birthday.
Okay.
I'm going to predict that. Now, whether everybody has them on their head, I don't know. But I personally will have a picture on April 19th, 2016 of me at my birthday party wearing a CV1.
I believe you 100%.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think it's... Yes, going to happen.
It's set in... there's no reason why. Yeah.
So... Chris, your hair's getting kind of long.
Yeah, man. You're my inspiration.
Okay, so the whole point of this thing is silent protest of I don't have a CV1 yet. And so I've let my hair grow. It's been a long time since I've had a haircut.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to kind of look like... did you watch the TV show Smallville?
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember, was it John Glover's character, Lionel Luther?
Okay.
Has that kind of like frizzied out. I kind of got it. That Lionel Luther look going on.
What does your family say? How do you...
Well, that's exactly what I was going to get at. My dad keeps telling me, you need to cut your hair, damn it. Damn it, boy, you need to cut your hair. And I'm like, shut up, you old man. My dad actually has no hair at all.
Yeah.
So he's like, this is your future. Shut up, Dan. He doesn't listen to my podcast, so I can say that. So shut up, Dan. My wife at first was like, seriously, this is getting ridiculous. And then the other day, I was coming out of the shower, and she's like,
wow.
I think you might need to keep that hair. And I kind of looked at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, you know, yeah, I look pretty badass right now. So I think I might keep the hair for a while.
All right, all right. I'm growing my hair out in solidarity with you.
That's awesome. I appreciate the support. So you know, I feel like one of my other options is that when the seed one is ready to be delivered, that I give Palmer Luckey the invitation to bring my CV1 to my house in Seattle, Washington, and we film, and I give him a pair of scissors and let him cut my hair.
Wow. That would be glorious. That sounds like a glorious, momentous event.
It's a possible outcome, a possible scenario. We'll have to see how that turns out.
Yeah. Well, I'll be rooting for that to happen.
What haircut would Palmer Luckey give Reverend Kyle? That's the question for the community. We'll have to see. It is hair. Hair grows back.
It's true.
You know?
I can see a mohawk.
A mohawk. You know, that's like the low-hanging fruit,
though. It is very
low-hanging. The mohawk. Yeah. You know, we'll get some Elmer's glue and spike it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can do that. You know, Chris, I feel like they're starting to try to close up shop here.
It looks like it.
They're shutting down tables.
Yep.
The union's coming in to start shutting it down.
Yep. And the lights are becoming dimmer.
Yeah.
Are you going home tonight?
I'm going home tonight. I have a flight in... I should probably leave in the next hour and a half to go down to the airport.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But...
Hey, what's your life looking like for the rest of the year? What are you doing?
Oh, my God. I am so busy. I would have to say that if you're not a regular follower of my podcasts, and I want to push Driving Home with Reverend Kyle because it gets more play than this one does, I'm going to put this on my RevVR podcast. I haven't put one out in a while. Yeah. It's good that, you know, good content.
Yeah.
I am going to do some more interviews. I got stuff lined up. I just haven't had time to do it. Mm. But I think the next year for me is going to be substantial. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see me maybe switching my tone about certain technologies and trying to maybe move into some other things. You know, it's always been a VR podcast, but maybe augmented reality or mixed reality might start to come into play a little bit.
I know where that's going.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't. Nobody knows anything. All right. So I think we should wrap it up. Chris?
Yeah.
What do you got going on right now, man? I mean, where do we find you? What are we doing? You know, where is your focus right now?
Man, that is a good question. Well, here's the thing. I've been spending the past 2 years living a dream, really. It's been a dream, honestly, to be able to witness this and be able to have conversations with people who are just amazing. So I've been learning a lot. And so basically, all the past 2 years have been just a absorption of information and knowledge and experimentation. I spent the past, you know, 9-10 months experimenting with all sorts of things, businesses, ideas,
peyote, and that kind of stuff.
That too.
Okay,
that too.
All right.
No, I mean that too.
Of course. DMT, well, you went to Burning Man, so
yeah,
you know,
DMT, LSD, all that. I mean, but I wanted it. So the thing is, I've been immersing myself, throwing myself into all these different experiences because I want to build something off of that. So I have something that I've finally, I think that I'm going to buckle down and won't work for that I can't talk about yet because it's not quite, you know, worked out yet. But I think the idea is really exciting, and it's been a culmination of the past 2 years. Just, I think it's ready. I think it's time. Enter VR still gonna continue. It's still gonna be in my mind. I want it to be a place of a place where I exercise my First Amendment right to free speech. a place where people can be themselves. And I want to make and so it's not a business. It's gonna stay a work of love that I hope people appreciate. And in the meantime, I'll be working on something else. It's also VR related, so stay tuned for that. And I can't wait to keep sharing this experience of living the birth of the metaverse with you guys. I'm so excited.
You know, it's so amazing to hear. If you go back and listen, and I don't know if you've ever done this or not, go back and listen to like your first one or two or three podcasts. My first one or two or 10 podcasts. You know, you listen to the first couple and you think these guys don't have any idea what they're doing, what they're getting themselves into. But you listen to us now and you can see there's a level of precision in what we're doing and the way we're thinking. And you can see that our focus has become laser streamed down. Mm-hmm. And you know, we haven't produced as many podcasts as we did in the past.
Yeah.
There were days where I was like, whoa, I could produce a podcast every day this week.
Yeah.
You know, wow, look at all this content. The thing is we're getting to a point now where we've got our other VR projects, the things that we're focusing our attention on.
Yeah.
And I think the VR community appreciates that and understands that that's why there's a lack of content. But like you said, you still like the idea of being able to sit down and BS about VR for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You hit record and you see what happens.
That's true.
And it's really a cool thing. You know, with my current career, Studio 216 has been wonderfully supportive of everything I do in the podcasts and in the events and everything. But I still feel like my first priority is still to the community.
Yeah.
And to maintain that level of presence, pun intended, in the community and be a voice, be an ear, be a way of reporting information. I think that's all important as well.
I agree. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Man, they're tearing this place down quickly.
Yes, they are.
Let's, you know what? Let's GTFO. Let's go grab a drink or a smoke or something fun. Chris, it's been a pleasure, sir.
It's been a pleasure, sir.
All right.
All righty.
All right, everybody.
That's a wrap.
Thanks for listening.
All data and information provided on the RevVR podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. This podcast makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, correctness, suitability, or validity of any information discussed. Comments and views expressed on the RevVR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests and are not necessarily shared by Road to VR or its affiliates.